I wonder how many of you are old enough to remember this irritating little lamb. He used to bounce around without a care in the world, inevitably getting into danger and having to cry, "It's the woolof! It's the woolof!" And of course, the sheepdog shepherd comes to his aid, usually with the words, "I'll save you, lambsy." This morning, we're starting a new series looking at the I am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. Statements which Jesus makes about himself, which tell us something about who he is in relationship with his people. So he says, "I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection and the vine." And it won't surprise you to learn this morning that we're going to be looking at "I am the good shepherd." Before we get into the meat of that, however, we need to look at what the I am statements are all about and why they are such good news for us as God's people. Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if we didn't know what God was like. We'd be asking, "Is he kind? Is he loving? Does he get cross with me? Can I do this or will he jump on me? What kind of God is he?" The pagan religions had this problem. They had many gods. Gods of the harvest, gods of war, and so on. And if things went badly in their lives, the harvest failed or their enemies succeeded to defeat them, then they'd be left wondering, "Well, what have I done wrong to anger these distant gods?" And so they would try sacrifices or rituals, all of which were uneducated responses, vain searchings in the dark. Not a great way to live. But with the people of the living God, it's very different. God is continually revealing who he is. So in the Old Testament, Moses is at the burning bush, being commissioned to set God's people free. And he asks, "Who am I to say has sent me?" And God says, "Tell them I am has sent you." This is God's personal covenant name and comes from the Hebrew name Yahweh or Jehovah. And it's translated in our Bibles with the capitals, Lord. Wiersbe says this: "The name conveys the concept of absolute being, the one who is and whose dynamic presence works on our behalf. It conveys the meaning of I am who and what I am, and I do not change. I am here with you and for you." So in different places in the Old Testament, the Lord filled out or completed the name I am to reveal fully his divine nature and his gracious ministry to his people. So we get, for example, "I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. I am Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your banner." And in the book of Exodus, he reveals more of his nature to Moses. He proclaims, "I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." And when we get to the New Testament, God's ultimate revelation of himself is in Jesus, his Son. Hebrews 1 says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Want to know what God is like? Then we look to Jesus. Jesus came revealing that he is the great I am. He is God incarnate. It would have been radical to the people who were listening to him. And the I ams are such good news because we have a God who doesn't leave us in the dark trying to guess what he's like. You know, remember when Peter is asked by Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven." God, in his mercy, is a God of revelation, telling us exactly what he's like, so we can be secure in our relationship with him. a bit more lambsy, perhaps. So let's read what Jesus says in John's Gospel. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The first thing we notice in our passage is a contrast. A contrast between a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and a bad shepherd or a hired hand who runs away and abandons them. Now we're thinking of a mother's love today, and in many ways there are likenesses between mothers and shepherds. We have good mothers who want to give everything to their child. They would offer a kidney if it were needed. We hear of how in the death camps they would have gladly changed places with their children. And I heard of a mother whose daughter was diagnosed with breast cancer saying, I wish it was me. But there are also mothers who are not like this. We see the stories on the news. Or maybe we have silent stories of our own. Not newsworthy, but painful. And so in our passage, in the same way, we see the contrast, Jesus, the good shepherd. And he's seen in contrast to the bad shepherds who have come before. The prophet Ezekiel spoke to those false shepherds saying this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill, and no one searched or looked for them. It's a tragic tale that grieves the heart of God. And so he promises, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were. I will bring them into their own land. I will tend them in a good pasture. There they will lie down in good grazing land. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Ever think that Christianity is about all that we've got to do for God? I will pursue my people and establish relationship with them. This is God's gracious work of rescue, seen in Jesus as he reveals himself as the one who the prophets have spoken of. He is the genuine shepherd who seeks out his lost sheep, feeds, tends, and heals them. He does this in our passage because it says he owns the sheep. We belong to him. Psalm 100 said, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And owning us, he dies for us. 1 Peter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Contrast this with the hired hands, who take care of the sheep primarily because they get paid for it. They have no personal love for the flock. Wolves come, they flee. It's all about self-interest. It made me think, as I was preparing, about the movie Annie. Miss Hannigan, professing to love the kids in the orphanage. She gets them to say, we love you, Miss Hannigan. But we know it isn't true. She's just paid to look after them. She doesn't love them or care for them. She has no compassion for them. They exist to make her comfortable. She's not their mother. How different is Jesus? He's proved his love for us by dying for us. He is our good shepherd. of Jesus, it is said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, this says a lot about the shepherd, but it also says a lot about us as sheep. You see, the names of God reveal to us his character, who he is, and how he deals with our needs. So as our provider, it shows that we have a lack. As a healer, it shows that we are sick. As our banner, it reflects our powerlessness against our enemies. And as our shepherd, it reflects that as sheep, we need his care. We can't look after ourselves. At the core of our relationship with God as shepherd, then, is our need, our vulnerabilities and our dependence. Sheep are defenseless animals, prone to going astray. We need his provision, his strength, and his dependability. How countercultural is this? We're taught to be independent, to fight for ourselves, stand on our own two feet, look to our own strength. And God says, look to me. What needs, then, in us does God as the Good Shepherd address? I'd like to look at two this morning. Firstly, in verses 11 to 13, I would suggest that it's our fear of being abandoned. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. You know, abandonment is a primal fear, because each of us needs one another and we need God. No one wants to be alone or abandoned. Some mothers, sadly, have abandoned their children. What security it brings to know that our good shepherd never will. Isaiah says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God will never abandon us. You know, sometimes I abandon myself. I berate myself, but not so God. Strange as it may seem, I love this psalm. I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You know, before Christmas, I accidentally, and it was accidentally, went through an amber stroke red traffic light. Woo! And did I go into my usual anxiety mode? Anyone for whom Ross's words spoke this morning, listen in. So I went on to Google to see what the traffic cameras looked like that picked up you going through a red or amber light. And then every time I went past the same spot, I thought, is that camera? Is it not? Then I went to Google to see where all these traffic cameras were in Leicester. People in the church reassured me, tried to calm me down, but I was having none of it. That is until I listened to a sermon on being the beloved of God. And then I suddenly realized what was going on in my heart. My fears were rooted in not being loved by God when I made mistakes. That old fear of being abandoned and left to my own resources. The sermon talked of the clouds opening at Jesus' baptism and God speaking and saying, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The sermon suggested that we took time to just stand and let the clouds open and hear the voice of the Father saying, you are my beloved child. You know, my fears disappeared. God would never abandon me. Even when I make mistakes, I am his beloved. You ever been senseless and ignorant towards God? Not accidentally, but deliberately even. The good news is that he remains faithful to us. Like the parable of the lost sheep, God, our shepherd, leaves the 99 and goes after the one who is lost. I am with you always, he says. I will hold your right hand. See why I love Psalm 73? We belong to God. He cannot abandon us. Throughout the Bible, we see the covenant love of God. He's made a covenant with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us. And when God enters a covenant with us, it's one that he will never break. You know, in those times when a covenant was made, they would take an animal, they would cut it down the middle, and they would splay the parts either side. And then those making the covenant would walk through the parts of the animal. If you remember the story of Abraham, this is what you see God doing. God is there as a burning fire, and together they walk through. Now, what this picture was saying was, if either of us break this covenant, let us be like this dead animal. Let us die because we have broken the covenant. History shows God's people did and God's people do break the covenant. But God remains faithful. And instead of us dying, God dies in our place. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What reassurance this brings. He is the loving protector who remains true to his promises. He is the shepherd giving his covenant people the sense of the strong security of being the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. He is committed, reliable, and faithful. He will never abandon us. No wonder we can be a bit more lambsy. We can call on him, and he will run to save us. Secondly, then, what other needs in us does God as the Good Shepherd address? I would suggest he addressed the needs we all have to be known and to be cared for. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, knowing in Scripture means much more than being able to identify or a person by a name. To know involves intimacy, the intimate love between a husband and a wife. It says Adam knew Eve, and it doesn't just mean that he knew her name. An Eastern shepherd knew the name of all his sheep. He called them out of the fold. He knew each one's particular needs and was so better able to care for them. At the end of the day, when the sheep came back into the fold, the shepherd would raise his staff over the entrance so the sheep had to bend down and go under, and he would then attend to their needs. Do they need a bit of oil on a wound? Do they need a tick removing? He knew them and cared for them. And Psalm 139 says the same about us. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. You know, if God hadn't revealed to us who he is, a God gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, then this could be quite terrifying. But you see, God sees all the things that I'm ashamed of, all the things that I hide away in my heart and present to the rest of you a lovely exterior. Well, maybe. He sees all of that and loves me. Whatever. You know, don't we love those friends who we've been able to do the same with, who we've opened our hearts and said, this is the bits I'm not proud of, and they love us anyway. What security that brings. How much more so with our God. And it's not just the bad things, the opposite applies as well. You know, sometimes we're judged on the outside for things that we've done. You know, we fail at something. We disappoint ourselves. What reassurance in that case, that God sees our hearts and he knows what we intended. He knows we wanted to do our best. What reassurance that brings, what comfort it brings, what confidence to follow our shepherd. And you know, not only does he know us, but we get to know him. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It says later, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." What joy comes as we press in to know God more and recognize his voice. You know, as I've grown in that experience of hearing God and knowing how he speaks to me, then it has brought such release in my relationship and saved me from much heartache. A couple of sermons back, I preached on not having idols. And in the middle of the night before, I had this horrible dream where my rucksack was stolen, my credit cards had gone, my money was gone. I woke up in this sweat going, "God, are you trying to tell me that money's an idol and I've got to sort this before tomorrow?" Panic! I've learnt to quieten my heart and listen for the voice of my shepherd, who very clearly said, "Jeanette, I don't speak to you or seek to change you through fear. That is not my voice. That is not what I'm wanting to say to you." So I guess my challenge to us this morning is twofold. Firstly, our God of relation reveals himself to us that we might know him better and rest more assured in our relationship with him. Maybe we need to be a bit more lambsy, bopping around, secure in our good shepherd, that when we cry, "It's the wolf, it's the wolf," Jesus comes running. "I'll save you, lambsy." Secondly, as we get to know the shepherd, then we will be ready to be shepherds too. For that's what God is calling us to. Wiersbe says again, in his I am statements, Jesus not only tells us who he is, but also tells us what he can do for us and what we can become through him. Remember Jesus' commissioning of Peter when he'd failed Jesus and denied him three times. What did the commission entail? It said, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep." To the Ephesian elders, Paul says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And this is for all of us, not just for pastors. Now, I can look around this morning and see many of you who have shepherded me at various times. You've shown me Jesus, and you know who you are this morning. Let's look to Jesus. Let's press in to know the shepherd, knowing that as we look, we are changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. He is compassionate, so we become compassionate. He never abandons us, so we are faithful to him and to one another. He knows us and cares for us, and we begin to do the same for one another. The Lamb who died for us became our shepherd so that we, his sheep, can learn to shepherd too, knowing that at the end of time, as it says in Revelation, we will reach that place ultimately intended for us by the Lord. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let me finish with a story as the band comes up. A story is told of a parish where a famous actor lived. He was not a church member, but was invited once a year to read Psalm 23 at the annual farmer's service. The actor always produced a dramatic rendition. There were long pauses, deep emotion was apparent, the congregation listened spellbound. A year came when the actor, because of a sore throat, was not able to read. He sat in the congregation and listened to the service. The vicar asked an old sidesman, a retired shepherd, to read the psalm. The old shepherd read it slowly and simply in his local Dales accent. As the congregation listened, they heard the words as if for the first time. At the end, there was a long silence. After the service, the actor said to the old shepherd, "May I say how wonderfully you read the psalm?" The shepherd replied, "Oh, thank you, sir. Of course, it wasn't like when you read it. I ain't got your training nor the voice, sir." The actor replied graciously and humbly, I may know the words, but you know the shepherd. Let's press in this morning to know the shepherd. Let's worship him together. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. There's no better place to be. Let's stand and worship our God.